Thank you, Pastor Steve. It's such an honor to be back here. I'm so humbled and just so grateful for what God has placed in my heart for all of you. And I'm just super excited. This is a message, actually, that God has been working out and maturing in my life for over 25 years. And so I'm just really excited to be able to share the perspective that I got for this week and for this time. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are so gracious and so kind to allow us to continue broadcasting your word to the world. Even though a virus has impacted how we worship, it still has not inhibited your word from going forth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just take this time and use this moment to be exalted. You deserve all glory. You deserve all praise. And we are so grateful to give it to you. And so, Lord, I pray as your servant that you would allow this vessel to speak for you, that this may be about you and not about anything else, but the focus is on you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 14. As Pastor Stephen mentioned, what we're doing is we're taking a look at the man who wrote the book, 1 Peter. Peter obviously didn't come on the scene writing scripture. There was a journey involved with that, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening or this morning. And so I just want to thank you for tuning in and bearing with us as we walk through this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away." This is speaking of Jesus. "After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why'd you doubt?'" We're going to pause right there. Yeah, this is a very peculiar moment. I titled the message for today, "Radical Obedience." It's radical because Peter, a man, walks on water. And when we consider that just, if you just think about it, that just blows your mind that Peter, a man, a human being, walked on water. And when you read about Jesus walking on water, I think we can excuse it because Jesus is Jesus. But the fact that he enabled Peter to walk on water is something that just blows my mind. So that's radical. And the fact that Peter was obedient enough to step out of the boat and begin to take these few steps is remarkable. But I didn't title this message "Radical Obedience" just for the sake of doing radical, crazy things. Radical obedience really means just silencing the voices so that we can only focus on the voice of Jesus. And it seems radical to the rest of the world because sometimes it'll allow us to walk on water. It'll allow us to do things that it's humanly impossible to reason away. It's about an encounter. See, through our Christian journey, we often talk about having an experience, and I believe in order to really be impacted by Christ and to have true fellowship with Him, we need to have more than an experience. We need to have an encounter. I just want to pause for a moment. I just want you to just silence yourself and remove every other voice and just try to focus on the voice of Jesus and allow His gentle whisper to penetrate your heart. What's He saying to you? For many of us, it's been something He's been telling us for a very long time. And we keep wondering, when are we going to take that first step out of the boat? For others, we're just longing to hear the voice of Jesus. We need the proof that He's real and that He's calling us to something deeper. Here's what I truly believe, that every single one of us has this divine reason for existing, and there's something that's been implanted in us that either it's going to sleep or it's starting to wake up. Whatever the case may be, we need to begin to listen to what Jesus is saying so that we can have the courage to step out of our comfort zone and move into that risky place so that we can begin to impact the world around us. See, I don't make any apologies for somebody who chases after my passions. I get criticized for that by a lot of people for chasing after dreams and passions. But here's what I believe: once we chase after our passions, we give the rest of the world permission to chase after theirs as well. But see, we've done something dangerous in our culture. And I'm talking about our church culture. We've done something very dangerous. We sought out comfort. And we believe that that's our human spiritual right, is to be comfortable. And it's been to our disadvantage. Because quite frankly, sometimes we can't even see the difference between those who don't believe versus those who do. This story of Peter, I can remember when I first read this, I just imagine being in that situation where you're on the heels of something tremendous happening. This is on the heels. Them being in this boat in this situation is on the heels of over 5,000 people being fed on just a few loaves of bread and two fish. It's crazy. And all the people were around, and those who were party of this were saying, we need to make Jesus king. And I'm sure those who were His disciples who were close to Him said, yeah, make Him king, because that's going to benefit us too. But in the midst of all this, as this chaos is ensuing, Jesus takes His disciples, He puts them on a boat, He said, go to the other side and I'll meet you there. I wonder what that conversation was like. As they first get on the boat and they're sailing across the lake, and they're sailing across the sea, maybe James is saying, man, did you see that? Yeah, and Peter's like, yeah, you know, when Jesus said, feed all the people, I facetiously said, we don't have enough food. There's a kid here with a snack pack. And then Jesus, and then maybe Judas or somebody chimes in and said, yeah. And then Jesus says, get them all in circles and we'll feed them. And all of a sudden, and all these different conversations happen. They're like, wow, yeah. And he takes His bread. I couldn't believe it. Look at all that we have left over. This is crazy. This story is on the heels of that miracle happening. And then all of a sudden it changes, because now there's a storm that arises. And I wonder how the conversation changed when the storm rises up. Because we all have storms in our lives. We all have things, that circumstances that seem impossible to survive. And we wonder, why, God, did you set us up? I wonder if they felt that way, because I know there's times that I feel that way in my own life, that I've been set up by God. And in a very true sense, yeah, he has set us up. But it wasn't a setup for failure. There was nothing in Jesus that said, you know, I'm going to put these guys on a boat so that a storm comes up so they all perish. That's not how he thinks. That's not his heart. He was ready and preparing them to do something extraordinary. He was going to take something ordinary and do something extraordinary with it in a supernatural way. And I believe that that's what God is setting us up for. And think about this. If you're in a situation where there's a storm in your life right now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's three ways to look at a storm. You're either going into one, in the middle of one, or coming out of one. But there's a storm that you can relate to in your life. And it doesn't do any good to place blame when it comes to the storm. The storm will not die down because we're blaming somebody else for our situation, or we're blaming God. I can recall one of the darkest times in my own life, and I'm thinking, God, why did you put me in this situation? Why did you set me up for this? I called it prayer, but it was really complaining. And as I was doing that, I heard this still small voice said, I can hear you complaining. And I want you to know, whenever you complain, it's an indictment on my character. Because what you're saying is that if you were God, you would do something different with your life. And you're assuming that I got it wrong. Well, God doesn't work that way. God uses us ordinary people to do extraordinary things in a supernatural way, so that the world that's looking in on us can say, that's the Jesus I want. So a storm rises up as they're in the middle of their journey. And they're so focused on the storm, they forget they left Christ behind. And then suddenly, they see a figure walking on the water. I don't mean to laugh, but that kind of thing is funny to me, if you could just look from the outside looking in. But in the middle of it, I'm sure if I would have been just like them, petrified, terrified, one, thinking I was going to die because there's a storm that it's tossing our boat, and I don't really like water anyway. I mean, I shower every day, but, you know, being on a ship, I'll leave that for somebody else. I wonder what they were thinking, what was going through their mind as they see this figure walking towards them that creates more fear for them. And obviously, it would have created fear for me too. And they see this figure walking on water towards them, and their first response is not that it's Jesus. It's their first response is in thinking that there's somebody coming to rescue them. Their first response is, it's a ghost. It's somebody coming out here, or something coming out here to harm me, to cause me more harm because of my situation and my circumstance. You ever think like that? And Jesus assuredly, boldly, bravely, and so gently says, don't be afraid. It's me. And it's interesting because they couldn't even recognize his voice. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own situations, in our own circumstances, that we can't even recognize the voice of God. And Peter speaks up. He says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. I'm using a different paraphrase. Have me come on the water with you. Now, I'm just speaking from a human standpoint. That's just stupid. Now, I'm just telling you, as a kid, I frightened easy. As a grown man, I frighten easy. And it's just kind of interesting because, you know, where we live, we live in the middle of nowhere. We live on 10 acres. And where we live, it's dark around there. And sometimes there's noises outside that concern me. And there's times where there's people in my family says, hey, Dad, will you go check that out? I'm like, no, because I'll be the first to die. And there's times where, and I'm just telling you, if this room was full of people and there was just a couple people who look like me in this room and there's something disturbing that happened, most of the white people would go check it out. The black people would run. Because that's how we are. And so I could imagine if this figure was coming towards me, I would not say, have me come to you. I would probably say, if you're talking to me, why don't you just come a little closer so I can see and recognize your face? That makes sense to me. Peter, on the other hand, says, no, Jesus, if it's you, have me come. And I wonder what the rest of the guys in the boat were thinking. Peter is an idiot. There he is again. He's always doing this stuff. And I used to think it was some, when I first read this, I used to think, this is just a ridiculous request because Peter, you know you can't walk on water. It doesn't make any sense until you follow the story of Peter. It's a beautiful story because it starts with this man being on a seashore after fishing all night and not catching anything. That was his profession. Peter was a professional fisherman. And one night he was out fishing. I'm probably sure that he had many nights like this. He's out fishing, didn't catch anything. He's trying to run a business. He's trying to feed his family, and he doesn't catch anything. And then all of a sudden Jesus shows up, and he says, hey, man, let me use your boat. And Peter, you know, he acquiesces to the request, and Jesus gets on the boat, and what happens is Peter's on the shore. He's washing his net, and Jesus is on Peter's boat. He's preaching the good news to the people that are gathered there. It would make sense that if Jesus is preaching, Peter is listening. I don't know if he was like me when I was a kid. When I went to church as a kid, I would pay attention to probably maybe 20% of what the pastor was saying. There were some things that caught my attention. And maybe it was like that where Jesus started speaking and maybe he made a great point and Peter was like, man, that made a lot of sense. But Jesus is different than other preachers because Jesus spoke with authority. Every time he speaks truth. And when he speaks truth, it penetrates our being. And so I'm sure Peter was thinking in his frustration, I didn't catch anything. But what this man is saying is making sense to me. And it's stirring something up. It's allowing something that was dead inside of me to come alive. And I'm being awakened and again inside of me. So whatever he's saying, I'm going to listen to. And then another invitation comes after he's done preaching. He says, Peter, hey, let's go fishing again. Wait a minute. I've been out all night. And I'm a professional fisherman, Jesus. You're what, a carpenter, dude? We fish at night. We don't do that in a day. But he submits to the moment. And I believe the reason why he submitted to the moment because he heard the words of our Lord and Savior being spoken, coming out of his mouth. And he says, okay, if you say so, well, let's go. And so they go out and he said, Peter, let's go deeper. See, whenever Jesus gives you an invitation, he always plans on taking you deeper. than you are right now. But there's a risk in that. And we have to weigh out the risk. Is it worth taking that leap? Peter again says, okay, we'll go. And while they're out there, he says, okay, let's do this. Take your net and throw it on the other side. So, all right. And all of a sudden, he has the greatest catch of his life. Now, there were so many fish, they don't even give a number to it. There were so many fish, they had to get other people to come help them pull it, the boats and the nets ashore. Now, he didn't catch anything the night before. If he had only caught 5 fish in that moment, it would have been a miracle. If he only caught 1, it would have been a miracle. But he caught a great catch, the Bible teaches us. And Peter's response should be our response when God does things like this. He says, Lord, I am an evil man. You need to get away from me. But Jesus once again reassures him like he reassures us and says, hey man, this is only going to get better. From now on, you're going to catch men. See, I honestly think the more radical thing is what happens next, not him actually walking on water. The more radical thing is this. Because I don't know about you, many of us who run a business, think about it, if you ran a business and it wasn't doing well, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and you have the best day of your life, most of us would say, hey, Jesus, are you gonna come back here tomorrow? Because this is good. Peter doesn't do that. He said, I'm done fishing. I'm gonna follow you wherever you tell me to go, I'm going. He quits his job. That's radical. That's obedient. That's epic. And so here we skip, we fast forward to a moment where they're on a boat, and now it begins to make sense why Jesus, or why Peter says what he says to Jesus. Lord, if it's you, tell me, meaning speak your word and I'll do it. Lord, if it's your voice and if it's your command, I'll obey it because I remember what happened when we went fishing. I'm coming. Jesus says, come. I want you to hear this invitation for those of you who are waiting to hear God respond to you. And maybe you've been praying for a long time for Jesus to show up in a miraculous way. I want you to hear this. He is telling you to come. Now get out of the boat. You were never meant to stay in the boat. The boat is only there as a vessel for your journey. It's not your home. This thing that we've been experiencing, there are what we call life, and where we are right now, it's not our home. We live from a different kingdom. Get out of the boat. Peter takes his first step out of the boat. And it kind of reminds me of when my grandson first started walking. It's like, it's so fun when you remember, if you can remember when your kids first started walking, you're sitting on the other side of the room with your arms out. You say, come on. And what if Jesus is kind of like that? I think Jesus is more like that than we think. And so Jesus, come, Peter. Come on. You can do it. Peter takes a step and he's like, I'm doing it. He takes another step. Yeah, I'm doing it. It's so funny watching kids take their first steps. They're so awkward. They don't know what to do with their hands and their feet. It's so funny. But then all of a sudden, as long as he stayed focused on Jesus, he was good. But then the word tells us that he noticed or saw the wind. That's peculiar. Because it's virtually impossible to see the wind. You can see the effects of it, but you can't actually see the wind. In order to see the effects of the wind, you have to take your focus off of what you were pinpointed on and turn your focus somewhere else. And that's what gets us in trouble. Every time we do that, we will sink. We might be okay for a moment, but we will sink. We need to keep our eyes on our master. We have a dog, and our dog is almost 2 years old. It's a Doberman. He's about 100 pounds, and my wife is an amazing trainer. When he was a pup, he would see a rabbit or something in our yard, and he'd want to go chase it, and he would think the door was open just because it was clean, and he would run into the door and bang his head. And so my wife trained him and I said, you are only going to come outside when I tell you to come outside. And so my wife would open the door and he would try to come out and she'd say, stay. And he'd want to go, but he'd sit down and stay. And then she would walk out the door. She would turn around and look at him and he would want to come. He said, nope, stay. And he'd get all anxious and excited. And then my wife would all of a sudden say, come. And he'd come. See, a dog knows how to keep his focus on their master. We need to do a better job of focusing on our master. And radical obedience should actually be easy. It should be second nature to us who follow Christ. The rest of the world should be able to look in and say, that's how I want my life to be. That's the God that I want to serve. But unfortunately, we serve in such a way that we what we do with Jesus is that we water him down. No pun intended. But if we would just listen to that voice that's deep inside of us, that's telling us to come, the world around us would say, wow, there's something different about you. You ever think Peter forgot about the time he walked on water? It's one of those moments, one of those encounters that actually changes the trajectory of our journey. You ever had a bad day where it seemed like all hope was lost? This is why it's so important for us to have an encounter with Christ. Because bad days are coming. They come all the time. They're like seasons that change. They're always either on the horizon, we're either walking through it, or we just got over it. But when we're in the midst of it, this is what we need to be mindful of. We need to be mindful of the moment we walked on water. Because when we can remember that we did that, it will help us through the tough time. And that's why Peter, after this moment, was able to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And contribute all that he contributed to the gospel moving forward because of that one moment. I worked at a camp this one year, and back in Michigan. It was a day camp. And there was a lake at this camp. And I was the archery instructor. And every day, these kids would come around and they would ask me if, hey, Kevin, are you going to go swimming today? And I'm like, no, I'm not going swimming. Leave me alone. Next day would come, Kevin, you going to go swimming today? No, I'm not going swimming. Give me your lunch. Very next day, Kevin, are you going to go swim today? Why do you keep asking me this? I don't swim. I know how. I just don't. Well, why don't you swim? Because I can't see the bottom of the lake. And brothers don't get in lakes. I'm just telling you. And so every day, without fail, even though I gave them every explanation that they needed, I would tell them, I'm not going to swim. I'm not going to do it. Well, the last week, or the very last day of camp, I decided I was going to go swim the night before. I wasn't actually going to swim. I was going to go down to the lake. And the reason why I came to that conclusion was because the night before, as I was doing my devotions, I read this story about Peter walking on water. What you don't know is that every single day I was engaged into a conversation with a young lady who was an atheist. She told me that she didn't believe in God, and every day we would have this, it was an argument. I would try to prove to her that God was real, and she would try to prove to me God wasn't. And so one night, the night before camp was over, I read the story. I said, that's it. There's a lake at the camp. Peter walked on water. Obviously, God had me read this because he wants me walking on water too. So at the end of camp, when it was free time, I put on my swimsuit because I had faith. And I leave the staff cabin. I start walking down towards the lake. And these two little kids, they see me. And they say, Kevin, you're going swimming. And I didn't say anything. But in my mind, I said, shut up, you little punk. Leave me alone. And so they ran in front of me. And I start yelling all over the camp, Kevin's going swimming. Kevin's going swimming. And so all the camp was down at the lake to watch me swim. But I had other plans. I went down there to walk on water. I stand on the dock, and the young lady, who was actually a lifeguard at the camp, had a perfect vantage point of what I was about to do. And with my toes hanging over the dock, I said a quick prayer, Lord, please don't make me look stupid. And I took my first leap of faith. How many wish this really would have turned out well? It didn't. I sank, whatever the word is, like a rock. And I come up out of water choking, and all these kids are laughing at me. And I got mad. I walked up to the cabin. I slammed the door, and I didn't know that this young lady followed me up there. And I changed my clothes, and I come out, and she's standing right there. She said, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. She said, no, what was that about? I said, nothing. She said, no, I'm serious. Were you going to go swim, or what were you doing? And so I decided to be risky, and I said, well, I told her the story. I read the word, and I was trying to prove to you there was a God, so I was going to walk on water. And I thought she was going to laugh at me. But what she said blew me away. She looked at me, she lowered her head, and she said, wow, you did that for me? You did that just to prove to me that there was a God? Then I got bold and said, yeah. The summer ended. I went to my college, she went to hers, and that was the days long before there was any sort of internet, so you couldn't email. So we wrote longhand letters to each other back and forth, and about the fourth letter in, she says, Kevin, I want to thank you, because today I realize there's a God. And I think back to the moment where you said you want to walk on water for me, and that's what started me on my journey. Sometimes it may not turn out the way you want, but as long as we're willing to be obedient and take a radical step towards Christ, we never know what the outcome may be. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for these encounters. I thank you, Lord, for these moments that you give to us that change our life, that you are writing out our story. And we are, when we're in the midst of it, it doesn't make sense to us. And we may be even embarrassed by the story. But it's those moments that are unforgettable. And you invite us into unforgettable moments because you want it to be personal for us. But you also want that moment to have impact. I truly believe that Peter never forgot that he walked on water. But I also believe that those men who were on the boat with Peter never forgot it either. And I bet there were men on the boat who thought, man, I wish I would have taken that step. But our risk, our willingness to chase our passion for you, it gives permission to the rest of the world to chase after theirs as well. It all starts with just a yes. Jesus, you are giving all of us an invitation to go deeper, to take these great steps of faith, to step into impossible moments that make no human sense. But in the long run, at the end of the day, it has such a great impact. And so, Jesus, just like I did over 30 years ago for the first time, I'm doing it again. I'm saying, yes, I give you my life. That's the invitation that he's given to all of us. And if you're willing, just repeat after me. Yes, Jesus, I give you my life. It's probably not the only thing that you and Jesus need to talk about, but it is a conversation starter. Yes, Jesus, I give you my life. God bless you.